The world premiere of an original musical takes place in St. Louis next week. It's a Stray Dog Theater production. The name of the show is Spellbound, a Musical Fable. Music, book, and lyrics by Gary Bell, Stray Dog's artistic director, a director that is, and playwright-lyricist Robert White. And they join me in studio. Thanks, gentlemen, so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
We are thrilled to be here, Don.
Gary, I'll start with you. I suppose folks could be forgiven if they think that this is the musical adaptation of the Alfred Hitchcock 1945
movie. They would be greatly mistaken. No, this is a different thing that we've come up with. Robert and I, we met a while ago, and we've decided to create this great piece. And basically, it's a diverse play about a bunch of different fairy tales and folk tales from a bunch of different cultures. And we put them all together into one big, that's henceforth spell, and bound, because we think people are going to be bound by what they're about to see and enjoy what they see.
Robert, your association goes back to 1994, I think, or certainly about the mid-90s period. This show really has had a long gestation period, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. This has been the longest birth, I think, in recorded history, for two men especially. And yeah, we thought of it when we were touring in Europe, and we saw these different styles of telling stories, and of the story basically of people searching and love, but we also wanted to keep the humor in it. And it is a musical comedy. And we wanted to make it silly and fun and make it easy to digest, because it's gone through so many changes.
How do you two collaborate long distance? I mean, Gary, obviously you're here. Robert, you're in New York. Yes. This has got to be a difficult process. Maybe easier today with the internet.
It is. But when we first started, we actually would Robert was in Amsterdam for a while. We would send cassette tapes and note information through the mail. Today, of course, we have the internet and we work in that fashion. But, you know, we were just so thrilled that we were able to update this, and the show has such an interesting look. And the story is very female-focused and very positive about Arabella on a quest and a journey, which we all go forth. And we created this, you know, mythical land of Samarin, which is very vibrant and bright and colorful, has like an anime graphic novel feel to it. And we have created a bunch of different diversity of elements in the song styles as well, everything from jazz to pop to the B-52s to very interesting show tunes. So I think there's going to be something in there for everyone.
Robert, how much has it changed since you first began talking about it?
It has changed a great deal. We had a reading a few years ago in New York with some professional actors there. And that's when we noticed how dated it was. I mean, starting this in 94, the world has changed so much.
Really?
A little bit.
Okay,
a little bit.
I guess so.
And,
only three or four wars since
then.
Yeah, and civil rights and everything. So it has changed so much. What we had to do at some point was actually just rip out chunks and chunks, which is the hardest thing to do, but also the most rewarding thing to do. Because Gary and I always had a rule that if we had an idea that we liked, but we had to lose it, if we were clever enough to come up with it once, we can do it again. And it has certainly built my muscle as a lyricist and as a writer. It has increased my ability to create stronger songs, harder songs, and the styles of music. Again, Gary's saying about the style of music. I come from a musical background, so I'm aware of pop and jazz and blues and things like that. And I drew upon that for a lot of the songs and wanted to give a little fashion where everyone kind of hears their music.
Yeah. And we freshened it up with the characters, too. We have a lot of, like, shape-shifting beasts and elements and like, howler monkeys and beavers and very interesting characters who are kind of helping to tell the story in a very graphic novel kind of anime-type style, which will be very intriguing to people who enjoy the more modern take on things. And we've kind of reshaped a lot of these ancient folktales and fairy tales from other cultures that are unknown and matched them with some of the ones that are known. And the singers are just astounding. We've heard our songs being sung in such great arrangements by Chris Thomas, and they're just stunning and beautiful. And the set's going up right now. I actually just cleaned off the purple paint of doing some work over there at the theater today, and we're just excited to share all those new things that are happening at the space.
You didn't have to clean up for us.
This is radio.
I insisted he clean up.
Tell me more about your cast. All local?
They're all local. We have a bunch of really wonderful folks who've been been on the stage at Stray Dog Theater in some of our past performances at Cabaret and Funny Girl, and some new folks too, Christopher Tipp and Meadow the Nye, who is a wonderful actress, and they've come from a variety of local schools around, from Champaign in Illinois and other places there. But it's really fresh, vibrant, and of course Deborah Sharn has been around for a while and done some great work with us since in the show as well.
Let me say that it's that question you asked, coming from New York and having the New York standard of seeing the shows there in Broadway and the snobbery that New Yorkers have for our theater, of course, it was really been incredible for me to see casting these wonderful cast members and seeing these rehearsals. Like last night, seeing these singers, the professionalism, and it's amazing to me. I love seeing St. Louis's talent because there's such mm-hmm. amount of talent here. And New York can learn, you know, from that. You know, the talent is everywhere.
There's
not
more
just
outside
on Broadway.
Of there, my friend, across the river. There's more out there.
There was a life okay. across the river, yes. Who lived on across the yeah. Hudson? Who knew?
Well, yeah. Well, Gary, you must have found it to your liking because you came from the East Coast.
Yes, indeed.
You not? And you're like the man who came to dinner. You came
I came
for a visit
never
and
left.
Stayed.
I did indeed, yeah. I came to write a play, and I was living with my sister at the time because my sister and I get along very well. And I kept my apartment in New York. And I got really just wrapped up in what was happening here. And a company had me come on as their artistic director. And then some of those folks said, let's start a theater here. Then I also met my partner, Rob Ogden, who's our business and executive mm-hmm. director. And so love sometimes gets you to stay places. And here I stood.
Or leave.
Or leave.
I couldn't say that. Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, I just saw again, like Robert, that there's so much potential here. And I decided to stay and start the company and go from that point.
I wonder what it is about St. Louis, though, because it is a vibrant mm-hmm. Arts scene all around. But yeah. certainly theater
yes.
is
yes.
huge here.
If I could answer that, I would say this. It's similar to me to New York, but on a smaller scale. And there's so many things here with our great theater, with our arts, with our parks, with our museums. And I've been fortunate to travel all over the world with my arts experiences and also with my family being in the service. And I have found the city to have so many opportunities that I find so incredibly beautiful and as equal to a variety of places. And I tell folks, just don't share it too much. Mm-hmm. Keep it kind of quiet.
Well, here it's free also.
Yeah.
I'm loving how your museums and things.
Yeah, we have a lot of opportunity.
$25 for MoMA in
right.
New York. These things are free, so it's right. accessible.
Well, you're free to stay, Robert, if you would like.
I think I just may like stay a little bit longer. Yeah, I've got to get back to New York.
Yeah. You mentioned that you have a music background, and I know personally you do, but I have to mention this, that your dad was one of the original members of the group The Platters, which
yes.
is a group that, from my era, if I may say so, that I remember very well. A lot of hits back in the old days.
Yeah. Yeah, it was what is funny, as a kid, of course, that was just what Dad did. Other kids' dads went to the office and came home. My dad went to Europe and South America and came home 3 months later and brought me all these wonderful trinkets and the currency and things. So at a very young age, I discovered from my dad's job the world. And I knew there was a world bigger than Los Angeles, which is where I'm from. And it helped me to get into theater then. I was a child actor in Los Angeles because, of course, Dad's going to push me in the singing as well.
Sure. Speaking of child actors, is this Spellbound? Is this a show for kids?
Kids definitely can come. I would say a good age range is 10 and up. There are some adult ideas and themes, but I think like in the cartoon world, they're going to miss some of those topics and go over their head. They'll enjoy the very vibrant costumes and the sets, quite vibrant and unique. We have moving trees and elements of that nature that they're going to really enjoy like
there's nothing,
a cartoon.
There's nothing that's serious tone. It's a wink. The adult humor is all just a little smile.
It's still a G show for sure.
Yeah.
We have some characters in there that I say 10 because some of them might be a bit scary for some of the younger ones. And those are the elements that I think might be a bit tough for some really young children.
I know at Stray Dog you're very attentive to that sort of thing with regard to youngsters coming
to
the shows.
Well, thank you. We have a lot of youth programs and elements of that nature. So we're really clear when something's for mature audiences and when it's more appropriate for kids.
That would be Stray Pups.
Yep, Stray Pups Youth Theater. You got it. Yeah, we love them. And our after-school programs and our summer camps for kids and all those good things.
So it's definitely children-friendly for sure.
Good. How do you two distribute the workload? I mean, you're both involved in all facets of creating this mm-hmm. thing.
Very carefully.
Yeah. it's just been almost kind of like its own marriage. You know, when you have a writing partner, it's a whole different kind of relationship. And I predominantly do the composing of the music, and then Robert does the lyrics. But we sometimes switch around. And he'll come up with some idea or a lyric. And when it comes to the book writing, we both are associated to the libretto and work hard together to make that come alive.
What comes first, the lyrics or the music?
That's the age-old question, yeah. Isn't it? That every composer and every lyricist will have a different opinion. I like to say, Gary will have his own opinion, I like to say that you can have people on stage and music playing, but if they're not singing, it's either a symphony or a ballet. So the lyrics are the things that you have to have. But then if they don't have music, then it's Shakespeare. It's just things that rhyme. Mm-hmm. So
each song, I think it depends on the song. Sometimes the lyrics come first, sometimes the music. It's never ever a set pattern. Yeah. They're all different depending on
the
style.
It's the motivation of the character that comes first, what's needed.
Especially because in Spellbound, there's such a variety of styles. It depends on the style that we're working on, what comes first. I write a lot of more poppy things when it comes to lyrics. Robert is very astute and more classical in his words. And so we kind of match well. I guess we've actually compared ourselves to Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. I'm more the outward guy. He's more the internal
or Lennon McCarthy
guy.
With all modesty.
Well, I was going to say Rodgers and Hammerstein, but what the heck?
I'll take it.
What the heck?
Thank you.
Give me a little more sense of storyline here. I mean, we mentioned that we're talking about fable, fantasy, and
exactly.
That sort of thing, but a general sense of what the story is about.
Well, Arabella is the main character, and she's going on a journey to find herself. And unlike heroines of the past, she is not a demure, quiet gal. She's very assertive and strong. She's in a dysfunctional family, and her father is in that dysfunctional family. And that's why she stays. She stays because of circumstance, not because of need. And so there's a lot of issues going on between her and her father about trying to get him motivated in his life to release them from what they are trapped with. She's sent on a journey, which I'll keep private about what that is,
sure.
By one of her main mother, not her real mother, and it sends her into a place called the Brambles, where she visits and encounters a very unique characters and creatures that help her find herself, her romantic life, parts of her sexuality are kind of hinted at. And then she goes to the Act 3, where she's able to put those things to use. We found out with our study with all these different folk tales and fairy tales from other countries like Japan and Africa and China that they have similarities but differences to the stories. And we've incorporated those little bits and pieces in there as well to kind of expand on the things that we know in our culture.
May I add, it's a love story. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the juxtaposition of it is, the heart of it is a comedic love story, and we chose to have our characters, many different characters, express their love. We have a young love. There's an older love, because we found in a lot of musicals, the older couples in those musicals are kind of joked at with love. And we wanted to show love in people in their 20s, love in people in their 40s and 50s. Love between species, no bestiality, but love with amongst species. And
I'm glad you clarified.
Yes, I had to clarify that just to keep the rating correct on this.
And it's more sweet love, you know, and it's about caring for each other and the kindness of the love. And you know, we wrote a song called "Romance It Seems Is Wasted on the Young" back when we were in our early and late 20s and early 30s. And now that we're older men, we look at the song. We said we were quite astute at that, and that it's, you know, we relate now to those older characters now that we're a little bit older too.
What we do is borrow from fairy tales and take homages of certain cultures, fables and things.
There's a lot of magic in there, too. Mm-hmm. We have some really interesting sorceresses and magic that happens
fairies.
On stage and fun things and cute fairies. And it has just about every big nice, encompassing fairy tale or folk tale you can imagine.
I'm thinking of the song "Love is Wonderful the Second Time Around."
One
of the lyrics is, "Love is wasted on the..."
Actually, it's funny because I'm inspired by certain songs, certain musical theater forms, certain characters, certain songs of how you express your... As a lyricist, I try to find ways of expressing what you want to say. If the song were about love, someone gushing in love, I try to say it without ever saying the word love. You know, it's trying to find new ways of saying the same themes that we've been heard 1,000 times.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing.
Our male lead is also very non-traditional. You know, usually it's that Prince Charming kind of a guy who comes to save the damsel in distress. We've taken that idea and turned it on its head. He's the one who needs most of the saving, and he gets his comeuppance in the end about what he's looking for and how his story tends to evolve. And then his father and the love that he has for one of the characters in the shows is such a lovely piece and shows all these wonderful, interesting ways that people can be in love and be cared for.
I understand what you're saying what you have said and said earlier with regard to a cultural understanding, multicultural. But what about the diversity issue? That's such a big issue mm-hmm. here. How is that being expressed? Robert, I'll start with you on that.
Yeah, that was very important to us, in fact. And the events at the Supreme Court and the events here in St. Louis very much informed us about that. And it was interesting. We noticed that our show always had that in it anyway, because as an African-American man and Gary as a white man, we bring that to the table when we work together, the perspectives that I have. Our cast is multiracial and cultural, and we wanted to really include all of that, plus sexuality themes, plus just an inclusiveness of this world called Samarin, where they live in our show, an invented world where everyone is equal and where everyone has a place at the table. And I think today, with what's going on, especially the anniversary here in St. Louis, it's a message that I think is more important than ever to bring people together.
And we've wrapped that up, of course, because it's a musical comedy, not to be too heavy-handed. And that's why we incorporated these other species to kind of represent the different colors and the different looks of our world. Yeah. And they represent all those diverse elements.
It's an important message to get out today. There's no question about
it.
We only have a few seconds left. I don't suppose there was any chance that the world premiere would be any place but St. Louis.
No. Because we love this place, and this is where my theater is, so we're happy to have it here.
And where does it go from here? Does it have a future?
It does have a future. We're going to go into a studio and record some of the songs and then enter some competitions in New York.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds very exciting. And I'll let folks know that the presentation, A Spellbound, A Musical Fable, starts August 6th, runs through the 22nd. There are a lot of different times here. We'll have all that posted on our website at stlpublicradio.org. But it starts, look for it, August 6th through the 22nd. Thank you so much for being with us, Robert Wright. A pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure meeting you.
Nice to see you. And Gary, it's great seeing you again.
Always great to see you, Don.
Best of luck with the new presentation.
Thank you.
We're going to have to end it on that. We'll tell you that Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Southern Illinois University System President Randy Dunn. We'll also get a congressional update from our Washington, D.C. reporter, Jim Howard. Archive versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/Cityscape. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with assistance from Aaron Dorr and Anya O'Connor. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council Estate Agency. Cityscape's a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.